Disclaimer: the opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
It's recording now. You're up, Mark.
All right. What's up, guys? Welcome back to Popcorn's Perspectives. And this week we have our Oscar-themed episode after last week. So I'm here with Blake and Lucas and just ready to get right into it. Right, guys?
Yes, sir.
So, overall thoughts?
I think they went as predicted. Couple surprises in some categories, but I guess we're going to go through with them all.
Yeah, I think the categories were predictable. Maybe not the moments, but...
I thought Oppenheimer was obviously going to take the show, but, like, I haven't seen Poor Things yet, so that's on my list, but I'm surprised, like, stuff like Anatomy of a Fall and Zone of Interest didn't get as much love, but although in some categories they did, but... Yeah. What did we think about American Fiction for Best Adapted Screenplay?
I'm glad they won. I actually didn't watch American Fiction, but from the things I heard it was great. It was a good movie. I heard Jeffrey Wright was killer in it. But I'm just surprised they gave it to them just because, like, I don't know. I thought they would go just with a more, like, safe pick, but I'm glad American Fiction got some love at the Oscars because that's the only award they won.
I thought it was... I mean, I didn't see all the movies in that category, but American Fiction was awesome. Like, Jeffrey Wright, like you said, was amazing. Sterling K. Brown, knockout performance. But the screenplay, I just think it won because the screenplay was very, like, satirical, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean. Like, it was very much, like, the subject topic was very much applicable to what's going on in the world today, especially in literature. And I think... There was so much satire in the movie, but and so much humor that was put into the screenplay. So I think that's kind of what took them home for sure. I loved it. It was one of my favorite movies of the year for sure.
Yeah, I definitely should give it a watch. Mark, any thoughts on that end?
Yeah, I think it was a great movie screenplay. I didn't really get to watch it, but just saw a couple highlights on social media here and there. It's pretty good, so.
Jeffrey Wright was phenomenal. Like, I only know Jeffrey Wright from being the dude from the CIA guy from all the Bond films with Daniel Craig. Yeah. But
that's right.
It was really refreshing to see him in a role like that, for sure.
Yeah, it seems like he's always playing a supporting role. Like, even in The Batman, I thought he was good. But, like, nah, it seems like he took center stage. I definitely gotta watch that.
I think it was a good year, too, to see a bunch of... kind of those supporting actors come into the mainstream, like Coleman Domingo.
You could even make the case that Cillian Murphy, especially in feature film, he's been mostly a supporting actor.
That's yeah, true. Too, but I would also argue that Cillian Murphy is the greatest actor in the world.
Maybe right now. It's a big statement, but he's one of my favorites.
No, he's up there. He's up there right now.
Yeah, for sure. Original screenplay, Anatomy of a Fall.
It's nearly perfect of a screenplay. The story is awesome. I love that movie. The only thing that's kind of maybe bad about it is it's a little unrealistic, just like the ending, but I'm not going to spoil the ending. But other than that, it's really good.
Yeah, and I thought it was a great storyline, too. I thought it was, like, simple in what it offered, but then, like, got so complex. You know, the storyline, obviously, her being accused of her husband's murder and then her son being blind and having that moral dilemma. But Sandra Hüller, gosh, what a knockout performance as well. Yeah. And Zone of Interest as well.
Yes, both of them were very good.
Double attack there. Mark, thoughts?
I didn't watch them. But definitely on the list. I mean, if you guys give a good reviews, you know it's going to be a good movie, right? And I don't know, just reading... like a kind of description of it, like I kind of mess with like the overall story, like what you just said, kind of like I guess like mystery, like thriller type thing, right? So yeah. Definitely pretty cool
for sure. No surprises with this one though. Ludwig Göransson, best score.
Yes, that score is masterful.
I think I still listen to Can You Hear the Music just walking down the street. Like, it's It was masterful for sure.
It's on my workout playlist.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. That's a pretty good.
Yeah, because like if you're just like about to go for like a PR or something like that, you need that. And he's like, can you hear the music?
I got super tripped out when I first watched Oppenheimer because I thought that was like gonna be it was gonna be one moment with that one song like at the end of the movie, but that song is like literally the theme of the movie, if that makes sense. Like it literally comes on right away, comes on when he's thinking, like in that crazy scene at the end where he's like, I believe we did.
Yeah.
Like it's playing in the background. Like I thought that song, it didn't carry the movie, obviously the screenplay and the acting did, but like it made the screenplay and the acting better in the movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
It just absolutely adds so much.
It added a different layer for sure.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that.
Did Goranson do the Tenet?
He did too? Tenet, and he did like, you know, the Black Panther Wakanda.
He did do that one.
He did that, like with the bongos and stuff. But yeah, he's a good composer.
Super talented.
Looking at the next Hans Zimmer.
Yeah, maybe. I want to knock off ones that I feel like we can not really give a whole lot of thoughts on. Best live action short is The Wonderful Story by Wes Anderson. What wonder story of. Sorry, I'm just pulling it up here.
I'm happy Wes Anderson got an Oscar. I think that's his first Oscar. Yeah, and well, Benedict Cumberbatch, one of my favorite actors. But
yeah. Yeah, I didn't get to watch it, but from what I heard, just like it was a good short. And also, it's kind of nice when you have Wes Anderson directing a live-action short. War is Over, best animated short. I can't say I know much about it. 20 Days in Mariupol. Documentary feature, and yeah, I think that's the ones that I just did not. I don't know if you guys, I don't think you guys did. Oh, and best documentary, The Last Repair Shop. Those are the ones that I think we can't give our thoughts on.
Yeah, I just know the best documentary was related to the struggle in Ukraine, and the guy who, gentleman who won, gave a really awesome speech.
Yeah.
At the end there, and it was really inspiring for sure.
It was. Yeah.
No surprises with best supporting actor as we see Robert Downey Jr. take it away.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
That was like by far like one of the best performances. That actually made it for me, that made the movie, like part of the movie to be honest.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I thought him, Killian, and then Emily Blunt too. Just a trifecta of masterful performances.
Yeah.
I think it's always weird seeing RDJ in like roles after Iron Man.
Yeah, so. it was an interesting thing to see him in a role like that though.
Yeah. It's so crazy to just like be used to see him as Iron Man and then you forget like he's an amazing actor. And
it was Oppenheimer was crazy too, cuz like there were so many actors like Roderick from Diary of a Wimpy Kid was one of the scientists. I think you know, Josh Peck from Drake and Josh was one of the scientists as well. So seeing those actors in those kind of dramatic roles in Oppenheimer was something super cool to see. But then again, like RBJ, like you said, like being in that role, I think honestly that's a career-defining moment for him too.
100%.
Yeah.
Apart from being
Iron Man.
Yeah, but it proved that he can act outside of the Marvel universe.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Especially in like such a, I don't know, I just looking at what he did in Oppenheimer to Iron Man, just like such a drastic change in like tone.
100%. Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah.
Again, no surprise, Oppenheimer, Chris Nolan taking best director. Yeah. I think there's absolutely no surprise here. I think Oppenheimer is a culmination of Chris Nolan's work. I think he has produced masterful products such as Interstellar, Inception, The Tenant, Memento, The Prestige, but I just think Oppenheimer is like, it's not the peak because I know he's set to do more, but it's honestly, it's I think his best piece of work.
Yeah, it's definitely like not his most ambitious, because like the story is like a bio and at the end of the day, but he still like put a twist on a biographical movie that no director probably could do, and made it just like so unique, and he killed it. everything top to bottom that movie is.
But I think it was interesting seeing him do a biopic because his screenplays are so creative and so different, like his plot twists and stuff like that. So I think he took the story of Oppenheimer and made it into something that no one really expected.
Yeah, I think just the way he executed it too. Just like the, just the way it was structured, I think it was great. Like good pacing throughout the movie too. So I think it was really good, to be honest.
I think he wrote the script in such a meaningful way. I think he wrote it in the first person, and I read something that he only does his screenplay, like writes his screenplays in red, so no one can replicate it.
Oh, I think
so. I thought that was like something super interesting as well.
Yeah, and also what inspired him to make it was when he was doing Tenet or finished Tenet, Robert Pattinson gave him American Prometheus, which is what the book is about. Yeah, like it's adapted from that book. So Robert Pattinson basically made Oppenheimer, in a way, which is why I love him. He's a very good actor.
I like Robert Pattinson too. I like him as Batman.
Yes, I liked him in.
I liked him in Twilight.
Yeah. Okay.
Divine Joe Randolph, best supporting actress.
Well deserved. She's awesome. She's fucking.
She is awesome.
She's sick.
I thought. I love the holdovers. I thought it was. Alexander Payne is a extremely underrated director, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Sideways, too, I thought, was phenomenal. And Divine Joy Randolph, masterful performance, in my opinion.
Yeah, she was just such a vibe in that movie. She was just, like, a lot of depth to her character as well. Just, like, the trauma that she faced with her son passing away.
Oh, yeah. I think there was a lot of layers to that performance, and I think that she kind of put it all together really well.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
And I think her and Paul Giamatti in that film, for me, was such an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, good chemistry, but you wouldn't, like, think that.
And then I'm blanking out on his name, but...
Oh, Dominic Sessa.
Whoever played the... Yeah.
Angus Tully.
Who played the kid.
Yeah.
Just the dynamic between the three of them, I thought, was what made that movie.
Yeah. I know. 100% agree. Let's go back to Oppenheimer. Cinematography, I think that's like definitely wasn't a layup of a pick, but I think it was expected. Chris Nolan normally has good cinematography, but like the one scene that I think of in Oppenheimer for best cinematography is just like when the test goes off.
The Trinity test.
And then it's just like now I become Death Destroyer of the World. And like it's, and also just the like when he starts having like those panic attacks and everyone's in the room and it starts like flashing in the room and everyone starts like having the effects of what you get when you get nuclear radiation. Like it just looked fucking, I swore. Anyway, it looked really good.
What did you say right now?
I
didn't hear anything.
Yeah, I didn't
hear anything.
No.
I think it was just one big bleep that we'll add in post. Anyway, yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I thought, I don't think they used any CGI in that film either.
Not a lot of it, no. Not a lot. A lot of it was practical.
Which is, like, insane really? To think yeah. about that, just because, like, they're putting off an atomic bomb.
Yeah, I was going to say, these are just, like, bombs in the movie.
It's but Chris cool. Nolan is extremely practical in that way and likes to keep it
he's by the book.
Super legit that way. Best actress, Emma Stone.
Oh, yes. Love her.
I know Blake has a thing for her because of La La Land.
Yeah.
But
her performance in Poor Things is better than her performance in La La Land. She just got into a deeper character, and she was awesome. And also, her speech was awesome, too.
I was going to say, her speech was pretty.
Yeah.
Love Emma Stone. Yeah. Love Emma Stone.
She's a genuine good person.
Yeah, for sure. I haven't seen her performance, but I think I'm pretty pumped to watch Poor Things. You want to watch Poor Things, Mark?
Yeah.
If you guys would, like, if
you're free tonight, call it a date.
I'm down. What Was I Made For? Best song?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, but getting into another point, it might be the best song, which it is a very good song. I like the song, but I'm Just Ken.
I'm Just Ken was the best part.
That nailed it.
It was the best part. Yeah, it was the best part. It was
the best part, yeah.
Are you kidding me? That was awesome. That was
also, shout out to Ryan Gosling, 42, and playing Ken. Yes. That's insane.
Yes. Yeah, he's an anomaly. Like, that man, he's gorgeous.
Nothing else to say. Nothing else to say. I'm just Ken.
Yeah, he's just...
masterful performance. Masterful. No surprise here. For me, a super, super pumped up to hear this, but Cillian Murphy, best actor. Yeah. I think there's no surprise there. I think Paul Giamatti had a good shot. I think if Cillian Murphy was to lose, it would have been to Giamatti. Mm-hmm. But, like...
Yeah, there was no doubt.
No doubt. Best performance of the decade, for sure. One of the best performances I've ever seen. I thought... He played the role in such a way that had such an impact on the history of it. And knowing Cillian Murphy, the method actor that he is, I thought that his performance was everything that everyone would have wanted out of that role.
Yeah, well, one of the main things that, like, I was happy about was when I finished Oppenheimer. It was just, like, finally seeing him. Like, I was like, okay, he probably has it in the bag, because I've been a fan of Cillian Murphy since, like... Well, became a big fan after I watched Peaky Blinders, but also, like, probably since Batman Begins when I was a kid. Like, I've always just admired his work, even in Inception. Like, he's awesome, great actor. He's
been around for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what, how long has he been with Chris Nolan, 20 years?
2005.
Never.
So almost.
First leading role with Chris Nolan, too, so.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep, he killed it, absolutely. Getting into a little bit more of the minor ones, Zone of Interest, best sound. Any thoughts on that?
I haven't seen Zone of Interest.
Me neither.
Pretty important movie, though.
Yeah.
Family living near Auschwitz. Can't really comment much on that, though.
Yeah. Poor Things took best makeup and hairstyling and also best production design. I thought Barbie was going to get production design, to be honest with you. I thought, like, because, like, it was the... year of Barbie, like, it was the most popular movie of the year. I think
Barbie was a bit more underappreciated here. I thought they were gonna win a bit more.
I thought
100%.
I thought they were gonna get at least one.
They
I guess they got one for a song.
I was gonna say they only got song. No,
yeah,
dang,
they should have. I think they should have got production design, because that movie, for sure. That movie looked like it looked good, and just like
it everything. Looked like everything that it should look like a Barbie dollhouse, pretty much.
Yeah,
but like, no disrespect to Poor Things, it was very good.
Yeah.
It also Poor Things also won best costume design, so they knew what they were doing in pre-production there, so it's good. Good for them. Visual effects, Godzilla won. I was under the impression. I think
no, but like the Godzilla, like the other one, right? Not like the.
Yeah, Godzilla minus one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Spider-Verse was nominated for that, and I'm surprised they didn't win, because that movie was gorgeous. But
if we get to another category after.
Yeah, if you want to, you can. I know Mark's a big Spider-Verse fan.
I'm gonna start ranting right now, actually.
Yeah, so they lost best animated feature to The Boy and the Heron, so
see, the thing is, like, yeah, I didn't watch the boy and the heron.
Yeah,
and I'm sure it's a great movie.
Hayao Miyazaki.
No, I'm very
such a legend, though.
I'm very biased, though, man.
Such a legend.
I don't know, man. Watching Spider-Verse, man, it's just
not a big animated guy, so can't comment.
Well, you're a loser, so it doesn't matter.
I liked The Boy and the Heron. It wasn't his best work, but, like, I don't know. I thought, like, Spider-Verse was good, but I don't think it topped the first one.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, it didn't top the first one, but I don't know, man. I just, something about those effects, man.
Yeah,
and Miles Morales. Yeah, I don't care. I like the story. I'm a big Spider-Man guy, so I don't care.
Yeah, I thought the effects were crazy. That was awesome in the movie. Also, the music was really good. But
forgot about the music.
Pardon?
I forgot about the music.
Yeah, the music was really good.
That's in my gym playlist.
Yeah, but I don't know. The narrative wasn't as good as the first Spider-Verse. But either way, It definitely, I remember, the guy who plays Miles Morales, I forget the actor's name, but he ranted on Twitter about how they lost.
I seen that, actually.
I was like, oh, okay.
I'm a sore loser.
Yeah, he did admit that he's a sore loser. He was like, yeah, sorry, I'm a sore loser, guys, but we deserve to win. I was like, all right. Something I can appreciate here, because I like editing, best film editing is Oppenheimer. Yeah, like...
It was like... And I think that would have been a difficult role to, as an editor for that film, because that film must have been, the original cut must have been like 6 hours.
Dude, that movie.
And they filmed it in less than 2 months.
Yeah, that movie must have taken so long to edit.
That movie could have easily been 4 or 5 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. And how long? It was like, what, 2 hours and 58 minutes or something like that?
Something like that, or just over 3, maybe?
Yeah.
Something like that.
It was Sorry.
I was just going to say it flew by, but you go.
I walked out of the theater and was like, that was way shorter than it should have been. It seemed so much, like it was really fast paced just because I thought that it easily could have been an hour longer.
Mm. Yeah, but that's like, yeah, but there's some people out there who like, they don't like long movies like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you can't make a movie that, like Killers of the Flower Moon was what, 3 hours and 50 minutes or something? Yeah.
I thought that could have also won because like, that was a long movie, and I definitely felt that it was long, but it didn't feel as long as it actually was. And I thought maybe that'd be the one category they give to Killers of the Flower Moon, but...
I wasn't a fan, so...
You didn't like Killers?
No, sorry.
I thought it was all right. Definitely not, like, at his top 10 best, the Scorsese's best, but, like, I thought it was all right.
Yeah, I thought Lily Gladstone was awesome.
Yeah, she could have taken the cake over Emma, but... She got a Golden Globe, so that's fine. It would have been nice if she got it. She also seemed pretty appreciative and just, like, happy for Emma, which is very humble of her.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right, let's end it off. Best Picture, Oppenheimer. I think that was...
No surprise. I think Al Pacino kind of ruined it with his little... I don't even know what to call that. He got a standing O and then just said, "Must see Oppenheimer." I was really disappointed for Chris Nolan, for Cillian Murphy, for Emily Blunt,
the entire team
that like pretty much, it's like that was Chris Nolan's first Best Picture win.
Yeah, it is.
Like that being your first experience and Al Pacino just saying "Must see Oppenheimer," like. It kind of ruined the moment for me. Like, I was super pumped for the category just because I knew Oppenheimer was going to win. And then that kind of...
Yeah, he... I think after all these award shows that he's at least attended, won awards that he could just, like, stick to the script. But, like, this...
Yeah, definitely a moment.
It might be because of his age. He just...
I think he was too excited to get home to his 3-year-old. At 76 or however old he is.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Just 20-year-old girlfriend or whatever. Legendary actor, though, of course.
Some good, some funny moments, some not-so-good moments. I thought, obviously, the Al Pacino moment. Octavia Spencer and Melissa McCarthy, their announcement there, that was a little awkward.
Yeah.
Like Blake mentioned, I'm Just Ken. Phenomenal. Oh, yeah. I also thought the two dudes who did the In Memoriam, who sang, I'm not sure what the song's called, but it was from, that was a song from Step Brothers in the last scene.
Mm.
But I thought they were phenomenal too. And then the John Cena moment, obviously, was pretty funny.
Yeah. I thought the John Cena thing was funny. I thought some of Jimmy Kimmel's jokes were just quiet down. But like, I thought that.
I don't know, man. His stuff never hits, man.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah, no.
I thought the Trump joke was just kind of like, okay, like, why are we making it political? Let's just enjoy the night of some movies and stuff like that.
Sorry, go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say, who do you think would be your, like, ideal host?
Billy Crystal. Kevin Hart.
Maybe Kevin Hart.
Oh, Kevin Hart's a good one.
When he read that tweet, I thought it was going to be from Matt Damon. I didn't think it was going to be from Trump.
I forgot about the Matt Damon thing. Yeah, that would have been funny. If it was Matt Damon...
I thought that would have been more funny than Trump.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Definitely, that would have been more funny. But, yeah, overall, it was pretty good. It was a pretty good year for movies. It was a good Oscars. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's been probably the best Oscars since 2019, or best year for movies since 2019.
I love how they did, they had all former winners for Best Supporting Actress, Actor and Actress, shout out all those performances. So I thought that was pretty awesome, too.
Yeah. It was a good conclusion to the year. And with that, I think we gave all of our thoughts today. Everyone gave their perspective of how they enjoyed each part of the, each aspect of the Oscars. So I'll throw it over to Mark to give a little sign off since he introduced us today. But yeah, it was great talking to you guys.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll leave some light. Thanks for joining us today.
Keep on popping.
Keep on popping.
See you later next week, Perspectivers. Go watch Oppenheimer. See ya.
Go watch Oppenheimer.